Now, Father, I ask you, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord, that you anoint my lips, anoint this sanctuary with your presence and your understanding. God Almighty, I ask you to open prison doors, give sight to blinded eyes, and heal hearts that have been captivated, bruised, and wounded. Lord, do the miraculous tonight. Lord, we're asking you for nothing less than miracles this evening. And Father, we thank you for this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Now, I want to talk to you about a story in the Bible. It's from the Gospel of John, chapter 3. And at the beginning of the chapter, the Bible says there was a man of the Pharisees. That's of more or less the religious class of the Jewish people. Ruler of the Jews. His name was Nicodemus. And he came to Jesus at night. Now, if we were paraphrasing in modern terms, it would be like there once was a religious person, and his or her name was, and this person came to Times Square Church Sunday evening. And he said, "Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God, for no man can do the miracles that you do except God be with him." Now, this man had a religion. As a matter of fact, he had a belly full of it. He probably came in the evening time. Perhaps one of the reasons might have been that his whole day was taken up with religious exercise. Could be that he was simply too busy. And he had his own place of worship. He had his own system of laws and beliefs. He was actually a teacher of some of these things. He had a clothing that went with it, language that went with it. If people looked at him, they'd say, well, there's a very religious man. And he probably was a fairly good and decent man, considering that he was simply religious and not really alive by the Spirit of God. And he came and he said, nobody could do the things that you do unless God is with him. In other words, in the practice that I have, the places that I've been, the religions that I've partaken of, there's a minimal amount of satisfaction in it, but there's no miracles in it. People come in the one way, they go out the same way. Lives are not transformed, and he must have included his own life in it. There had been, if his religion had the miraculous in it, he would not have found what God was doing through his son Jesus Christ unusual or exceptional. Now, I know that there are some people here that you probably are like I was when I was young. I went to church. My parents took me to church for the formative years of my life. And as far as I'm concerned, it was just a grand play in hypocrisy. It was a small town, so I knew everybody outside of the church. I watched them all sanctimoniously go down the aisle to receive what they thought was the communion of God. And then I watched them all smoking on the steps outside, drinking in the days in between church services, cursing, swearing, lying, cheating, and everything else that went on. So I drew the conclusion that a person should draw, that the whole thing is just a farce. It's just hypocrisy. That's why in my early teen years, I said, I want no more to do with this at any level in my life, because there's nothing transforming about it. It's just hypocrisy. It's just a pretend show that we're having a relationship with God. Now, Nicodemus was one of the leaders of this, but there was something in his heart that actually wanted God. Now, not every religious leader is evil, folks, you know. There are people out there that are leading forms of religion, but in their heart they really do want God. They want a living relationship with God. He was probably teaching people about miracles, but yet was seeing none of them. There's so many stories in the Old Testament about lives that were transformed by the power of God, and he's probably standing and teaching about these things, but yet in front of him there's absolutely nothing going on that looks like the miraculous is in it. And Jesus said to this man, he said, I say to you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In other words, Nicodemus, you need a life source that is other than what you can provide for yourself through religion. Religion can be created by man, but the life of God cannot be created by man. It has to be created by God himself. You have been given a life, he said to Nicodemus, a natural life. You were born of your mother and fathered by your father, brought into this world as a natural man, but you have to have a spiritual birth. You have to be reborn by the Spirit of God. Nicodemus said, how could this be? What are you trying to tell me? Does a man have to go back the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Please explain. He really did want to know. And I know there are people here tonight that you really do want to know what it means to be alive in God. You've heard testimonies tonight of the miraculous, but yet you sit here tonight, you sit here depressed, you sit here drug addicted or pornography, a very real and big part of your life. You hear the testimonies of the miracles, but you say to me tonight, you say to this church tonight and to God tonight, how can this become part of my life? What do I have to do? I have a sense in my heart that God is here, but what makes it different from what I learned when I was young? What makes it different from the things that I believe? I believe there's a God. I go to church once in a while, Christmas, Easter, maybe the odd time in between. I do have a Bible somewhere in my house. I do believe in the things of God, but I don't know anybody that's ever experienced the miraculous, but tonight, not only am I seeing the miraculous, but I'm feeling that I'm actually in the midst of something that is beyond my understanding. It's beyond my experience. It's beyond my religion. It's beyond anything I've ever learned or been told before. How does this happen? And Jesus said to Nicodemus, he said, are you a teacher in Israel and you don't know these things? You yourself are teaching others your thoughts about God, but are you not aware of what a living relationship with God yourself really is? And in verse 14, he said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now, in the Old Testament, the people of God, the people sinned against God, and because of it, serpents were released into the camp. And when the serpents bit the people, the poison would cause them to die. And as a remedy for it, God told Moses to put a brass serpent upon a pole and hold it up in a very, very visible place. And if anyone was bitten by a serpent, if they looked towards this brass object that God told Moses to put on a pole, the poison would not kill them. Now think about this for a moment. In the Garden of Eden, a serpent called Satan came in. And he infused into the human race the poison that we can live any way we want to live. We can do anything we want to do. We can do it in any manner we want to do it. And somehow we're not going to suffer for it. But you know that isn't true. You know that the humanity is suffering because of sin. You are suffering because of sin. But yet in that environment, the people, if they looked at this which God provided, if their eyes looked to it and their hearts believed in it, the poison that was in them would not kill them. The poison of a sin nature, the poison of something in you which seems to be bent on destruction, that poison that flows in your life and in your mind that causes you not to be able to get out of the prison that you're in tonight. You can't stop doing the things that you're doing. You want to. You've made resolutions year after year. I'm going to be a better husband, a better father. I'm going to be a better friend. I'm going to stop drinking. I'm going to stop lying. I'm going to stop stealing. I'm going to stop doing these things. But I'm going to get out of depression. But you can't get out. You find yourself locked in, and this poison seems to be flowing through your system. This poison of inability to change. And Jesus said, whoever the Son of Man is going to be lifted up, this was Christ himself, is going to be placed upon a cross, that whoever believes in him should not die but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The Lord Jesus Christ was telling Nicodemus, there's something beyond anything religion has ever been able to give to you. You don't have the power to change. But God in his mercy is making provision for you. God in his mercy sent his Son to be crucified on a cross, to shed his blood, an innocent man for the guilty and wrong things that we have done, that whoever believes in him, puts their trust in him, should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus did not come to condemn you. He did not come to point his finger at you and judge you. He came to save you. He came because he loves you. He came because he had the key to every prison door. He had the healing antidote for the poison that's in your system. for the things that are in your mind, for the depression that wants to eat away at your body, for the drugs that are ruining your life. He had the antidote, a power that is greater than anything that you can ever produce in your own strength or that man-made religion can give you. I didn't come to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believes on him is not condemned, but he that believes not is condemned already because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now here is where it gets very interesting. Now keep in mind, Jesus is still speaking to this religious man who came to him at night. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that does evil hates the light, and neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that does truth comes to the light, that his deeds might be made known or manifest that they are wrought in God. Now Nicodemus had come at night. Maybe at night he thought people might not notice his questions. Maybe he thought he might slip in and see something that might make a change in his life. Maybe he thought, as others have in the Bible from time to time, that this could be done secretly. It didn't involve any kind of public exposure or disclosure. But Jesus said, those who are of the truth move towards the light. They don't try to approach God in darkness. They don't try to cover anything. They simply come to the light and let their heart be examined whether or not what they are is actually of God or not of God. In other words, they come clean with God. And they do it publicly. They step into the light. There's no other way to do this. The veil of religion, the veil of falseness has to be put away. The veil of pretending we're something that we're not has to be removed. There's something in everyone's heart that we want God to more or less marginally bend his knee to us. And say, it's so wonderful that you've decided to come into my kingdom. We just haven't been the same without you. And now that you're here, how much better? Now, there's a truth to that in one sense. You have to come to Christ. You have to come to Christ. We'll let this gentleman be helped here. We need to do that quickly, if you will, gentlemen, please. Praise God. You know, the enemy has been fighting hard to keep somebody in captivity tonight, to keep somebody from coming to the saving knowledge. I have felt this in my spirit from the beginning of the service tonight. Tonight is a night when Jesus Christ wants to bring you out of darkness and into his light, out of captivity and into the freedom that he has for you. Out of hiding and into reality. There's all kinds of false religion that hides. It hides behind a lot of words and it hides behind a false zeal, but there's no truth in it. He wants to bring you out of this and bring you into the marvelous life that he has for you. Praise be to God. If you're here tonight, this is good news. It's not bad news. You can have a new life. You can be free. You can know the miraculous power of God. You can know everything that God's ever intended you to be. You can become in Christ this evening. There's no prison door that can hold you. There's no blindness that can keep your eyes from seeing what life is really all about. There's no substance that can continue to control your life. There's no website that can dominate you. You can be absolutely free tonight from the power of sin. But it requires a stepping out into the light. It requires an admission that you need God. It requires an understanding that we can't heal ourselves. And there's no amount of self-help or self-made religion that can cover the sin nature of fallen man. There's a remedy. The remedy is the cross of Jesus Christ. And for you and I to be saved, we must step out of darkness and come to that cross and say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. And without your sacrifice in my life, I'll never break free of sin. But I recognize tonight that you are the remedy for my condition. You are the remedy of God. You are the solution of God. You are the very place where the miraculous power of God begins to happen. It's in you, Lord Jesus Christ. You are the one that will open my prison door and give sight to my poor blinded eyes. You are the one that will allow me to take off the veil of religion and put on new life in Jesus Christ. You are the one, oh God, that will put a song in my heart. Will put bounce in my step, will put light in my eyes. You are the one, Lord Jesus Christ, that will free me from the trap of a sinful mind and bring me into a place of new thinking, new seeing, new living, new song, new focus, new life, new realm. You are the one, Jesus Christ, that will bring me into these things. And I will not be held back from it by any power of hell that tries to stop me from coming to Jesus Christ. I will not be held back from the life that is mine. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Now, we don't have an account in this chapter of the end of the story, but we do know later on in one of the Gospels that Nicodemus was one of those who went with Joseph of Arimathea to retrieve the body of Jesus Christ off of the cross and to give his body a proper burial. Now, I don't know what that all means, but what it means to me is that he was, at the beginning, he was ashamed to be seen in the daytime with the living Christ. And at the end of his life, at the end of the life of Jesus, Nicodemus was willing to be identified with the dead Christ. It meant more to him than it did for his living religion that he had. Praise be to God. He was willing to endure the scorn of his associates all around him. He didn't care because he knew that in him was life. And this life was the light of men. He knew it with all his heart. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. You can have life tonight. You can have hope tonight. You can have eternity tonight. You can be free from the power of sin tonight. Don't let it always be somebody else's testimony on a platform somewhere. Don't just sit here and be entertained by the miraculous power of God. You have a chance to be a partaker of this yourself. Everything you've heard tonight can be yours and even in greater measure. There's no limit to what God will do when you open your heart and say, oh God, I'm just so sick and I'm so tired of trying to be clean in my own strength. I'm tired of my own effort. It's done nothing for me, oh Jesus. And so tonight, I look up to the cross. And I don't care who comes with me, I'm going to that cross. And I'm going to accept the sacrifice that God provided for my sin. And I'm going to believe God that this miraculous power that produces new life is going to be mine. I'm not going to sit for the rest of my days and hear about the stories of other people and the miracles that are happening in other places. I'm going to lay hold of those miracles for myself. Praise be. We've heard such stories tonight how God will stop an elevator to get your attention. He'll reach you in the midst of a bar. Wherever you are, he'll find you and tell you that he's the way, the truth, and the life. Praise be to God. 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 I beg you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, if that's what it takes to come to the cross and acknowledge that you need a Savior tonight, there is no other way to eternal life. There's no other way to the miracle power of God. There's no other way to heaven but through believing that Jesus died for your sin, that you can be forgiven and you can be free. And you can have a new life on this earth and the promise of eternal life in heaven when you die. There is no other way to eternal life. You have the chance to taste of the power of God and the forgiveness of God. But you have to do it in the light. You have to be willing to have God speak to you about things that you thought were good. And God says, no, they've fallen short of what I'm able to do in your life. Tonight, if you are willing to give your life to Jesus Christ and you have seen and you've felt in the service how hard the devil is fighting to keep you from this knowledge, from this great, great salvation, if you are willing this evening to give your life to Jesus Christ, if you're willing to defy the devil himself and say, Satan, I've served you long enough. I've danced to your fiddle long enough. No more. I don't care who goes with me. I'm going with God. I don't care. I'm going to the cross, and I'm going to believe that Jesus' sacrifice is enough to pay the price for my sin and rid me of this poison in my body and in my mind. Tonight I'm going to be free, and I'm going to be free by the power of God. I am going to experience the miracle that God promises. If that is you tonight, just raise your hand right now, wherever you are. Go ahead. God bless you. All over. Go ahead. Raise your hand. Now, for those who raise their hands and you want to receive Jesus Christ here or in the annex, we're going to stand in just a moment. I'm going to ask you to get out of your seat. You must be special to God, because I've never fought so hard in this pulpit to bring a sinner to Christ in a long time. You must have, there must be something special that God has destined for your life. And I'm going to ask you this evening, as we stand, those who raised your hands and those who didn't and want to receive Christ, get out of your seat and come and meet me at the front of this auditorium, and we're going to pray a prayer together this evening. If you brought a friend with you, you may want to turn to your friend and ask him or her. If they're a little afraid to come alone, perhaps if you came with them, that might give them some courage. But let's stand, and as we worship, just slip out, make your way here, please, if you will. You want to be receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior.
Thank you, Jesus.
What a wonderful night this is. You're willing to step out of your seat and come here this evening, and just as a declaration that I can't save myself. There's no amount of religion that can cover me. My past experience is not enough. My best efforts have failed. That's why God came. He knew you couldn't save yourself, and He loved you. And He didn't want to lose you. He wanted you home with Him for all of eternity, and He wanted to give you life here on this side before you get to heaven. And He wanted to set you free as a testimony of His goodness. Not your power, but His. And give you a wonderful and a new life. A new testimony, a new song. Now, some of you feel pretty down tonight at this altar, but before you know it, you'll be an evangelist. Before you know it, you'll have a song. Before you know it, you'll be walking down the streets of New York City wondering, what was I ever doing without God? Why did I try to live without God? What was I thinking? And isn't it a wonderful feeling tonight to know that every wrong thing you've ever done, every rotten place you've ever been, every awful deed, every lie, everything you've ever done is about to be washed away. The record of it will no longer exist. Jesus said, I'm going to take the sacrifice of my cross and I'm going to cover it with what I paid the price for. And so it's going to be marked paid, price paid on it. And there's no need to bring it back anymore or talk about it anymore. It's going to be free and clean. And I'm going to give you a new heart and a new mind and a new reason to live and a new purpose to live and a new power to live life. You'll be changed. You're going to experience a miracle tonight. I want you to pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus Christ, I am a sinner. I have sinned against you, and I've done wrong against your word and against how my life should have been lived. I am powerless to change myself. I am a slave to sin. But I hear tonight that you died. You were lifted up on a cross to pay the penalty for my wrong and to make a way that I might be forgiven, that I might be healed, and I might have a new life. Tonight, I open my heart and I do it in public. I do it in the light. In Jesus Christ, Son of God, I invite you into my life to be my Lord and my Savior. I trust in you for my forgiveness. I trust in you for my future. I trust in you for my healing. And I thank you tonight. that you've promised me to set me free from all of the poison that is in my life. I believe it, Jesus. I believe it with all my heart. I've heard it from your word, and I know that you wouldn't lie to me. So I thank you, and I receive you, and I believe that from this day forward, I will be a different person. I am Jesus, your follower, from this day forward. I thank you that I will know, starting tonight, your miraculous power, that which only you can do inside of my life. Oh God, thank you for a new song, a new heart, a new future. I believe this tonight with all of my heart. I believe that I am free and a follower now of Jesus Christ. Amen. And amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a night this is. Folks, we need to give God glory for just for these here tonight. Thank you, Jesus.